Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tayaivam Rama Manasya. Kamakashmala Chetasha. Kshanahadam Ivarajendra. Vatikrantam Navambaya. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, the Bhai Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear King Prachinabharishad, in this way, King Paranjana, with his heart full of lust and sinful reactions, began to enjoy sex with his wife, and in this way, his new life and youth expired in half a moment. Please repeat. My dear King Prachinabharishad, in this way, King Paranjana, with his heart full of lust and sinful reactions, began to enjoy sex with his wife. And in this way, his new life and youth expired in half a moment. Purport. Srila Govinda Das Thakur has sung, Hey Dana Jovana Putra Parijana Iti Ki Achi Parati Re Kamala Dala Jala Jivana Talamala Bhajahum Hari Pada Niti Re Jamuna Devi Ki. Krishna is very magical. In Mayapur, we had this verse also some time ago. We're reading the same. And I had this verse, actually. And previously he said, you can speak on Gaurunika Tikshava verse. And I said, well, I don't really know much about those qualities. Let me see the regular verse you're in the Puran that you're reading. And then when I saw that, I had this verse in Mayapur, and I wanted to chant like Jamuna chanting, but it's not really, there's no, you know, it was at least 6 months ago or something after she left her body, so I thought, not proper. But now, it's exactly the right time because she's here, a whole festival, so Radhishyam is so kind, fulfill my desires. And I wanted to chant like in Mayapur, but I didn't do it, but I thought it's a bit too far away from her disappearance. But anyway, Radhishyam very much. Every time I come here, I see their hand doing something, fulfilling desires or looking after me. Okay, purport. In this verse, Srila Govinda Das actually says that there is no bliss in the enjoyment of youthful life. In youth, a person becomes very lusty to enjoy all kinds of sense objects. The sense objects are form, taste, smell, touch, and sound. The modern scientific method or advancement of scientific civilization encourages the enjoyment of these five senses. The younger generation is very pleased to see a beautiful form, to hear radio messages of material news and sense gratificatory songs, to smell nice scents, nice flowers, and to touch the soft body or breasts of a young woman and gradually touch the sex organs. All of this is also very pleasing to the animals. Therefore, in human society, there are restrictions in the enjoyment of the five sense objects. If one does not follow, he becomes exactly like an animal. Thus, in this verse, It is specifically stated, Kamakashmala Chetasa. The consciousness of King Puranjan was polluted by lusty desires and sinful activities. In the previous verse, it is stated that Puranjan, although advanced in consciousness, lay down on a very soft bed with his wife. This indicates that he indulged too much in sex. The words Navambaya are also significant in this verse. They indicate the period of youth from age 16 to 30. These 13 or 15 years of life are years in which one can very strongly enjoy the senses. When one comes to this age, he thinks that life will go on and that he will simply continue enjoying his senses. But time and tide wait for no man. The span of youth expires very quickly. One who wastes his time simply by committing sinful activities in youth immediately becomes disappointed and disillusioned when the brief period of youth is over. The material enjoyments of youth are especially pleasing to a person who has no spiritual training. If one is trained only according to the bodily conception of life, he simply leads a disappointed life, because bodily sense gratification, enjoyment, finishes within 40 years or so. After 40 years, one simply leads a disillusioned life, because he has no spiritual knowledge. For such a person, the expiration of youth occurs in half a moment. Thus, King Puranajana's pleasure, which he took in lying down with his wife, expired very quickly. Kamakashmala Chetasa also indicates that unrestricted sense enjoyment is not allowed in the human form of life by the laws of nature. If one enjoys his senses unrestrictedly, he leads a sinful life. The animals do not violate the laws of nature. For example, the sex impulse in animal is very strong in certain months of the year. The lion is very powerful. He is a flesh eater and he is very strong. But he enjoys sex only once in a year. Similarly, according to religious injunctions, a man is restricted to enjoy sex only once in a month, after the menstrual period of the wife, and if the wife is pregnant, he is not allowed sex life at all. That is the law for human beings. A man is allowed to keep more than one wife because he cannot enjoy sex when the wife is pregnant. If he wants to enjoy sex at that time, he may go to another wife who is not pregnant. These laws are mentioned in the Manusamhita and other scriptures. These laws and scriptures are meant for human beings. As such, if one violates these laws, he becomes sinful. The conclusion is that unrestricted sense enjoyment means sinful activities. Illicit sex is sex that violates the laws given in the scriptures. When one violates the laws of the scriptures or Vedas, he commits sinful activities. One who is engaged in sinful activities cannot change his consciousness. Our real function is to change our consciousness from Kashmala, sinful consciousness, to Krishna, the Supreme Pure, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Param Brahma Param Dham Paritram Brahmam Bhavam. Krishna is the Supreme Pure, and if we change our consciousness from material enjoyment to Krishna, we become purified. This is the process recommended by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the process of Chetodarpana Marjanam, cleansing the mirror of the heart. Om Agyan Timirandasya Janan Janan Shalakaya Chakshuran Minitandina Tasmai Shri Gurinma. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadatha Shibashari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we're talking in the purport how the Puranjan is talking about the attraction of a woman's breasts, especially in youth, and how Puranjan, he was very much, when he first met Vaidavi, his wife? The wife of Puranjan? Huh? Puranjani. Okay, Puranjani. When he first met her, he was very much attracted. This is what, one of the things that attracted. So in the 25th chapter, verse 24, the translation of this. With the end of her sari, the woman was trying to cover her breasts, which were equally round and well placed side by side. She again and again tried to cover them out of shyness, and she walked exactly like a great elephant. Purport. The two breasts represent attachment and envy, the symptoms of raga and dvesha. Attachment and envy are described in the Bhagavad Gita 3:34. Indriyashendindriyarti ragadvesha vyastitu tayova vasham magachet tohi asha pratipantino. Attraction and repulsion for sense objects are felt by embodied beings, but one should not fall under the control of sense and sense objects, because they are stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. These representatives of attachment and envy are very much unfavorable for the advancement of spiritual life. One should not be attracted by the breasts of young women. The great saint Shankaracharya has described the breasts of women, especially young women, as nothing but a combination of muscles and blood. So, this raga dvesha, the attraction and aversion, Srila Bhakti Saranda Saraswati Thakur says, that what is between us and the lotus feet of Radhisha? It is this attraction and aversion. What I like, what I don't like. This is he said, this is what the intervening distance is between you and the lotus feet of Radhisha, me also, and the lotus feet of Radhisha. What I like and what I don't like. Raga dvesha. And these are great stumbling blocks in the path of self-realization. If these are removed, then Krishna's lotus feet are attained. That's all that's in between. What I like, what I don't like. And practically, this is all that's going on in this world. We see sense objects everywhere. We have to see some sense objects and to perceive with our different senses. And practically that's all we're doing. We come in contact with senses, and I like it or I don't like it. That's all. If I like it, I will try to cultivate and accept it, and if I don't like it, I'll reject it. But that's all that's going on. This is all we are doing. Accepting one thing and rejecting another. Accepting, Prabhupada is saying, the music, the softness, the beautiful forms that we're seeing at every moment. And we make a decision, what do I like and what I don't like. So this, Bhagavad-gita Saraswati Thakur, this is what is in between us and the lotus feet of Krishna. And he said that a human being, he has to come to this point of making the decision in his life. This is a supreme decision. What am I going to do about what attracts me and repels me in this material world? What I like and what I don't like. What am I going to do about that? Am I going to go on the rest of my life accepting and rejecting something at every moment? Because that's what I've been doing so far. So this is a decision, a supreme decision for a human being. What am I going to do about my attachment and aversion to this material world, to these sense objects? And he says when one makes a firm decision, then he can go beyond. He's not going to entertain these attractions or the aversions of this material world. Raga, dvesha. They're great stumbling blocks in self-realization. Instead, he says, he cultivates attraction for the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Then Krishna becomes a little bit understandable. Otherwise, Krishna is always a mystery. Because he cannot come in. I like, I don't like. We're full of it. How can Krishna come in? How can the holy name enter? So when we make a decision to do something, Sisi Konitai Ki, Krishna Balaram Radisham Juki. Only when we make a decision to do something about it, and that decision is supreme decision. It's a the voluntary. It's something voluntary that everybody has to make. They make this. It's a voluntary choice. A person has to do that. Who was that other king who was chasing all around the universe after Uvarsi? Puruva, in that story in the Bhagavatam. He was chasing Uvarsi all over the universe. And then she told him the story of the goat, or he told her the story of the goat. And he kind of woke up, yeah. This is me. And then in that section, in the few purports, Prabhupada's repeatedly repeating that he was able to give it up. He had to voluntarily give it up. Otherwise he was completely attached. So he come to understand, and he voluntarily, it has to come from each individual. We have to voluntarily give up this attraction and repulsion, because the material world is just not going to stop for us. It's going to go on forever and ever. It's been going on forever. It'll go on forever after we're gone. The attraction and aversion, it's not going to stop for us. We have to make that conscious decision. And Prabhupada said it's a voluntary decision that everybody has to make. So, it's ironical that as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the intervening space between us and Krishna is this Raja Dvesha, which the Prabhupada said represents the breasts, the left and right. Raja Dvesha. Which here is, this is the greatest attraction in the material world, this text. So when there is a unification of man and woman, what is between them? It's the woman's breasts. Raja Dvesha, the greatest stumbling block in material world, and we are praising this as the greatest happiness in the material world. The whole world is going on the dysfunction that, yes, this sex is the greatest happiness in the material world. And it is. But for those who are spiritually inclined, they're great stumbling blocks. The greatest happiness becomes the greatest stumbling blocks in the material world. So, therefore, we have to go here, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, we have to go beyond this attraction and aversion and start to get a taste for Krishna. Then we can start to understand what is Krishna. Until that time, it's very difficult to understand what's Krishna. As you mentioned, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. If the heart is not clean, how will you ever be able to understand? So, here, Prabhupada said, the scientists, they're encouraging this. This is actually goals of life. Final goal of life. Why everybody's working hard? Ultimately, for this, the pleasures of sex. So, everybody's encouraging this because everybody wants it. And everybody makes their money from it. So they advertise it everywhere. So, the living entities, as Prabhupada says, they're not. They're being trained the wrong way. The material scientists are training us the wrong way. So we have to be trained the right way. And that process is Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, engaging in the service of the Lord. This is the process by which we can cleanse the heart. There is no other process. Only by devotional service to Krishna, the different aspects of devotional service. This is the only process that can actually cleanse the heart. And if people get this training, then this is what is needed. We were hearing the story of Haripriya. She took initiation a few days ago. People were different speaking. They were speaking how she was saying, why are people so absorbed? Why are they not attracted to Krishna? Because she was trained so nicely by her mother and father. She had the proper training. And therefore she could understand why. She could see why are they not interested in Krishna? Because that's all there is to be interested in this material world. So with proper training, then you automatically will get that vision. If you're trained from, especially from birth. So she had that vision because of a spiritual training. Devotional service, Srila Prabhupada said, is we're performing devotional service now. Why? Because previously you were performing devotional service. He said it's concluded that the very fact that you're performing devotional service indicates you were in previous life you were performing devotional service. But you did not finish it off. The proof is, again, we've got another body. We didn't. So Prabhupada said, "Then make this the last time. Last time you was performing devotion, but you didn't finish it off. This time you make it the last part, and you finish it off this time, your devotional service. So that's it. Get rid of this Raja Dvesha, the great stumbling blocks, and be trained properly in Krishna consciousness. Then we can train the world. This is the purpose of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's to change the consciousness of the world into Krishna consciousness. And we saw the nice example of Haripriya. It was a very, Jadubai told the story of, because when Maharaj, His Holiness, Mother, Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, he gave her a name. He gave her the name Vishnupriya Dasi. So Yadubha told the story, and Vishakha Mataji was pregnant, but baby wasn't coming out. So they approached Maharaj and said, please come and give blessings, because the baby is due but not coming out. So Maharaj said, what are you going to call the baby? And he said, Haridas. And Maharaj said, well, suppose it's a girl. He said, well, I never thought about that. And Maharaj said, then Hari Priya. He gave the name Hari Priya at that time. So in the initiation a few days ago, again she was given the same name because already he'd given. There was no change. So Prabhupada said, Krishna, at the time of initiation, Krishna recognizes you by that name. He recognized you by the name at the time of initiation. If you take initiation according to the Pancharachiki Diksha into the names of Krishna and bona fide Sampradaya, Krishna will recognize you from that time by that name. So Hari Priya was recognized from the very womb of her mother by Krishna, very beginning of her birth. So this is all due to good training. Another instance, angle of vision from this. Vrindavan is a magic place. Krishna is magic. There's all kinds of... it's like this story of Ganga Dasi. She was the daughter of Vasudha, the wife of Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Nityananda had two wives, two sisters, Vasudha and Janavi Devi. And Vasudeva gave birth to Birchandra and Gangadasi. And when she was born, when Gangadasi was born, she wouldn't take her mother's milk. So everyone was in complete anxiety. The poor little baby would die. So then Nityananda, he indicated to Janabi Devi to initiate her. So Nityananda went and he whispered Krishna's mantra in her ear. Janavi went and whispered the mantra into Gangadasi's ear. Krishna's mantra, initiated. And she went, where's my mother's milk? I want my mummy's milk. Of course she couldn't speak. But immediately she started taking the milk from that time. In other words, milk is for maintaining the body, right? They have to eat them. So her angle was, why maintain this body, the body that's not initiated? Useless. She was waiting for her initiation. Otherwise, the body, just maintaining a material body is useless. But if you're initiated, connection, then it has some meaning. Sukadeva Goswami, he wouldn't have come out the womb either. In or out, it doesn't matter to me. Of course, he was Brahmavadi at that time. He was self-realized. But even he had, what's the point of coming out? You get more distraction outside than inside. May as well stay inside. he was Brahmabhuta Prashnatma anyway. So, similarly, Gangadasi, what's the use of taking food? What am I going to maintain this body for if it's not initiated? She was, of course, she's a very, very exalted personality. She was Ganga Devi. She was born on Ganga Puja Day. She was Ganga personified, actually. She has a form in Vrindavan, in her original form as Bhara Prema Manjari. And Abhiram Thakur, he went to see this child because he went to see many of Nityananda's children. Paid his obeisances, they all died. Abhiram Thakur, he was He was notorious. He would go and pay his obeisances to a temple, and if the shaligram was an image, the stone or something like that, it would crack open. Or if the deity wasn't, probably the deity was crack and things like that. Or the children would die. You know, he went to see Raghunandan Thakur. He'd heard about Raghunandan Thakur, because Raghunandan, you know, he told Krishna to eat the prasadam. I must go and see him. So Raghunandan's father, Mukunda, Abhiram's coming to see my son. Oh no, they'll hide him. Don't let him see my son. He'll pay obeisances. My son may be killed. So Abhiram came. Where is Raghunandan? Oh, he left. He went to visit some relatives. He's not around. He left the village. So he's a little bit disappointed. So he walked off. Then Raghunandan Thakur, he had heard the story how Abhiram was coming to see him. Oh, I want to see him. And he went running after Abhiram. Abhiram, Abhiram. And they embraced. He paid his obeisances. Nothing happened. So they're embracing and dancing in ecstasy. And his Nupur flew off a few kilometers away. There's a Kund, Nupur Kund there, where his ankle bell, they've that so ecstatic dancing, his ankle bell went a few kilometers away. The place there is still there now. Nupur Kund. So, yeah, he paid his obeisances to Nityananda's children. Some of them died. Birchandra, he didn't die. He said he's about, and Gangadasi, he said, I paid my obeisances 12 times. But she didn't. And I know you are that internal potency of the Lord. You're not an ordinary human being. Because when you smiled at me, the whole world smiled. I understand now. You are that internal potency. So, when she got married, and she was going to her father-in-law's, her husband's house, her father-in-law's house, you know, she was crying, you know, it's natural. Because the first time the girl is leaving home, she's been at home under the care of the elders and everything like that. And now she's become of marriageable age, they arrange the marriage, and now she's got to leave home all alone to go to her new husband's house. So they always cry in India, in West, maybe different. They always cry. They're crying and crying and crying out separation from their parents. So Janavi said, listen, you can take Gopinathji. She had the deity of Gopinath. Because you've grown up with Gopinath, so he's like one of the family for you. So you take him, you can go in your new house, and then Gopinath will always be there. So you won't feel separation from your family members because you're so accustomed to serving Gopinath and being with Gopinath. Of course, this Gopinath is a very special deity. When Janavi Ma was in Vrindavan, she was taking bath in Jamuna, and she was getting out, and some tug was pulling on her sari. And she looked down, she saw a black hand pulling her sari. And then it disappeared under the water. Then she heard a voice and it said that, I want to accept service from you. When you go back to Bengal, I will appear to you in the Ganga. So after she went back to Bengal, and she made a tour of Mayapur and Katwar, etc. Then she went back, and she lived at Karadaha with Nityananda. And she was taking bath in the Ganga there, and again Gopinath came touching. Oh, she pulled him out of the water. Beautiful deity of Gopinath. And that deity is installed in a place called Jiyaganj. And about 8 or 9 years ago, there was one new bhakta. He came and joined the new bhakta program in Mayapur, but he thought he stayed for some time. He thought, I want to get married and go back. He's still chanting. He's chanting and everything. He went back and he got married. And his wife was from that village, so he came to visit. And he saw me. He was telling me the story. There was an accident with Gopinath, and his arm broke. So they called one mystery, some stone mystery, because indeed he was made of stone. So he repaired the broken arm. But anyway, about a week later, again it broke in the same place. So then Gopinath appeared to the Pujari in a dream, and he said, if you break your arm, he said, you go to the Kaviraj. I break my arm, you send the mystery, a stone workman in. What is this logic? So he woke up in a very astonishing dream, so they consulted one Kaviraj. They found a Kaviraj who could... So Kaviraj came and he gave some medicine and he bandaged it up. He said, after 1 week you can take off the bandage. And so they took the bandage off, and today he's still playing, isn't it? So that little lady went with Gangadasi. So, like that, simply to maintain the body, she wouldn't take any milk. So, simply Hari Priya also. She didn't want to come out until she was initiated. Otherwise, it wasn't worth coming out. She was initiated in the womb. The day before, when Vishakha and Chattabhai requested Maharaj to come to give blessings to the child, because he was coming late. So actually that day he mentioned the name. If it's the girl, Hari Priya. Next day she came out. She was waiting for initiation. Why get born in the material world without initiation? You're going to waste your time. So very, very exalted soul. Mystical Vrindavan. Krishna is very... so Krishna is always arranging very wonderful pastimes, especially in ISKCON. Prabhupada said Krishna's taken his birth in ISKCON, it's the holy name. So he has service to do, and we are instrumental in serving his name. Priti pichitato aganagaradi graham savacha pracha hoibi morana. Every town and village of the world, the holy name will be chanted. And Ekabut Mandir Hoibi Prakash, Kovranga Nitya Seva Hoibi Prakash, that in Mayapur an astonishing temple will come. And from that temple, what spreads all over the world? Kovranga Nitya Seva Hoibi Prakash. Prabhupada said, he said in Mayapur there is frequently a flood. This is an indication that the flood of love of Godhead will flow all over the world from Mayapur. So it's really happening there. Now they're just about to put the lid on it, I guess. The dome on the new temple, already they've gone up. They just started putting the dome up. But that's the prediction from this temple. So it's so important that temple is built. because then we can expect any time. Because the prediction is from that temple. So that has to be there. So that's our responsibility now. Get that temple. Then, of course, it's up to the desire of the Lord. But at least we'll do our part. We'll put the temple. Then the prediction can become manifested by the will of the Lord. And it looks like the will of the Lord is there now. There's a letter to one Girish Babu, Prabhupada wrote. And he was saying, you know, we're spending this much money in Mayapur. He was exaggerating like anything. Yeah, we got this much land, we get government. Now it's all true. Whatever Prabhupada said at that time, these were the figures, we're building this big height, and it's all true. But anyway, in that letter he said, Prabhupada was saying, we got everything, you know, we got money, we got land, we're spending this money. He said, now, when Lord Chaitanya's desire is there, it will be taken up. So Prabhupada was no fool to think that we got money, we got the land, and it's going to happen. We got permission. When the desire of Lord Chaitanya is there, it will be taken up. And it really looks like the desire of Lord Chaitanya is in Mayapur now. It really looks like it's taking off. You know, everything's going smoothly. The temple's growing up. They're building roads all over the place. You won't recognize it. roads going on all over the place now, the buildings flying up all over the place. This is all a prediction of Nityananda also. Tells Jiva Goswami there, many, many residential buildings will appear in Mayapur. They can't build fast enough. There's such a demand for residences. He says, in those, and all be devotees in those houses. And they'll all have deities. And you always hear the holy name coming. It's a fact. Any house you go to, they've all got Jagannath, Krishna, Gaunitai deities. And all that area, all, right up to like the Gaudiamat, it's all ISKCON. And past that, the Gaudiamat's blooming also. They're also building, all the devotees, Gaudiamat devotees are building houses and villages. So that's a prediction. Nityananda Prabhu, you can see now. Ganga will go back to a steady course. This is the prediction. Remember, Ganga was always flooding, moving around, flooding the place. This was due to what they call a floating island. It's like a sandbar. And it was coming down from the Ganga. It's like the Ganga is washing a sandbar, like an island, so much sand. And so suddenly the sandbar will just clog up somewhere, so the Ganga has to change course. So that's why the Ganga was always going like this all over the place. Because of this sandbar. And it was gradually going down slowly, slowly, slowly. And the government were really concerned about it. And because it was blocking up the harbour in Calcutta. This was also the prediction of Nityananda Prabhu. He said actually that after Mahaprabhu's disappearance, then the Ganga will come and flood Mayapur for 100 years. And then for the next 300 years, the Ganga will move like a snake for her pleasure. And like everything gets washed away, and Nityananda's, Mahaprabhu's birthplace even gets lost. We know that. So that's 100 years flood, 300 years moving like a snake, and everything gets lost, and everybody leaves, they go and live in high land. 400 years. Then, he says, know for certain, again the task of re-establishing the Dharma will begin again in earnest. So practically to the day that when Bhaktivinoda Thakur arrived in Mayapur, rediscovered the birthplace and started to establish and revealing so many pastime places and the actual birth site of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that was all particular. Ghat will be built on the bank of the Ganga. So many ghats are being built. The government is spending a couple of crores of rupees. We gave them land actually in Prabhupada's ghat. When you go, like just past the samadhi, we gave land. They're building a big ghat there. Mostly it's to cater for tourism, not just the local ferry, but they want to bring people in from cities in Calcutta and this. And Prabhupada said Mayapur should be connected by rail, by air, by road, and by ship. Prabhupada's desire also. But these, all these predictions are coming true. So it definitely seems like Lord Chaitanya's desire is there now. So this is the business of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We want to take the holy name in every town and village of the world. That's our business, because this is Krishna's desire. This is Lord Chaitanya's desire. And the desire, Vaishnava, he only has one desire. I just want to satisfy Krishna's desire. So this is the purpose of our movement, to satisfy Krishna's desire. And we know this Krishna, Radhishyam, has appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they've made themselves approachable. Otherwise they're very difficult to approach. Radhishyam, but in the form of Mahaprabhu, they say, we're not even demanding you to surrender like we've been demanded before. We're giving here. You simply take in this form of Chaitanya. I'm giving you, take. And not considering qualification or disqualification. You simply take. They're simply giving. So Gauranga Nitya Seva Hoivi Bikasha. This will go from this temple, it spreads all over the world. So this is the main saver of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram. Nam Seva. Nitai Go Premanandi, Hare Hare Bo, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.